Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our National Business Solutions training call. This morning is Monday, September 16th, 2019. Happy Monday to all of you, and I'm so glad that you've jumped on the call here this morning. I want to welcome all of you listening live. Of course, I also want to say hello to those of you that are listening to this call on playback. As you know, we record this call every Monday morning. We make it available on our team website, successteamworld.com. And so welcome to all of you. And let me tell you, you've picked a great thing to do this morning by getting on this call. This is going to be a powerful call. We are joined by none other than six-figure earner Mr. Chris Evans, who will be sharing some thoughts with us here this morning. Always one of our best presenters and best trainers. We're so excited to hear from him. We've also got standing by from Boston, Massachusetts, Mr. Jim Tanner, a $200,000 earner. And from Cookeville, Tennessee, Platinum World Council member Mr. Mark Riches to share some thoughts with us on prospecting and just some real live tips on where to go to be able to prospect businesses this week. And I'm excited to hear from Mark on that. I am so excited. We're in a great place in the month of September. We're just a little over halfway through. I guess really today is the beginning of the second half of the month. And so that is a great time to take inventory of your business. How does your month look for the month of September? How does it look in comparison to your goal for the month of September? I know many of you have worked hard to put in place an action plan and some goals of some things that you want to accomplish. And it's a good idea to just take a step back really throughout a month and even on a more micro basis several times a week and every day. But certainly there are times in the month where it's important to step back and look at your business and just kind of do a litmus test. How does this look? How are my goals shaping up, or how are my results shaping up in relation to my goals? And halfway through is a great time to be able to do that. Sometimes we look at those results and we say, you know what, I'm right on track. I'm right where I need to be. Sometimes we're ahead of linearly where we ought to be. Nothing wrong with that. If the results are bigger than we want, than we had expected and anticipated them to be, no one's going to be upset about that. Sometimes, though, we look at where we're at and we say, you know what, I've got some distance that I need to make up here. I'm a little bit behind where I need to be. And all that means is it's time to double down. It's time to get more serious, to make this week a big prospecting week. And that's just an important thing to do anyway, because we're heading into the fourth quarter. And every year on this call, I sit here and preach about preparing for the fourth quarter, getting ready for the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter can either be your biggest quarter of the year or your smallest quarter as far as in terms of production of the year. To make it your biggest quarter, that preparation starts now. And you want to be out meeting with companies. You want to be getting these benefits on decision makers' plates, so to speak, so that they can consider them for their fourth quarter enrollments. The reason that so many top producers, the fourth quarter is their biggest quarter, is because we have so many companies that do their open enrollments in the fourth quarter for a January 1st start date. And that doesn't mean that you don't want to be working with companies that don't have a start date for their standard benefits of January 1st. There are a lot of companies out there that are smaller that don't even have an open enrollment period because they don't really offer a whole lot of benefits. And legal and identity theft is a great way to introduce benefits to those employees of those companies. But there are a lot of businesses that they're making benefits decisions right now so that they can roll those benefits out during the fourth quarter, during their open enrollment. And it's why it's such a crucial time to be prospecting right now. And as we move through the end of September and into October, there's just not a more important time to prospect in the entire year than right now. It's why we talk about it so much. And so I hope that whatever prospecting goals we have, I hope that they're increased during this season. This is planting time. The harvest time is coming up in the fourth quarter. Some of those will be more short-term harvest, but certainly the fourth quarter will be a great harvest time if you're serious about planting season which is right now. Of course, to me, there's no better way to start off the fourth quarter than to gather together in Salt Lake City, Utah. I love that Legal Shield has scheduled their fall leadership summit right at the beginning of the fourth quarter. It's a great time to do it, and so I'm so excited to see so many people there. To speak more about that and also the events that we've got coming up this week to support those who are building an organization and growing a team, we've got none other than Mr. Jim Tanner joining us from Boston, Massachusetts. Again, $200,000 ring earner, a leader that we know, love, and respect. Mr. Jim Tanner, thank you for joining us here this morning, Jim, and always looking forward to hearing from you.
Hey, Mr. Riches, good morning. Good morning to all of our incredible success team from coast to coast and border to border. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to Salt Lake City.
Well, I think for some reason we just lost Mr. Tanner. He'll, I'm sure, join us here in just a second. Let me just point out, if you're not familiar, and I know that many of you are, but if you're not familiar, when you go to successteamworld.com and you log in, what you're looking for up in the toolbar, a page that I hope that you're checking on a regular basis, is the events page. And it's the little calendar icon in the toolbar. If you'll just click on that, that'll take you to the events page. The information for the Legal Shield Fall Leadership Summit is on that events page. You'll also see a link to the Legal Shield calendar. That's a great link to check out for events that may be in your area. You know, we've got trainings. They have Super Saturdays. Legal Shield hosts small business events. There are web events that you can find on that Legal Shield calendar, and certainly some B2B trainings that will be on that calendar as well. So be sure to be checking out that Legal Shield calendar. And again, you can get there. You can go to LegalShieldCalendar.com, or you can just go to the events page, and there's a link for that calendar as well. Again, the Fall Leadership Summit information is on that events page, and I believe that we've got Mr. Jim Tanner dialed back in here. Sorry that we lost you there, Jim, but do we have you live?
Mr. Riches, you do, and thank you. I'm sure you swooped in, saved the day, and made it seem like none of that was my fault, but I just simply hit the wrong button, and then I was talking only to myself. Thanks again for having me on.
You bet.
I'll add to whatever you were saying while I was dialing back in to say, I can't imagine an event bigger than Salt Lake City and to have it so positioned, 16 days from now, positioned to really to set us in forward momentum like you were talking about for the fourth quarter. And I think about what an incredible company we have. You know, as long as I've been here, I'm reminded of it every day. But then when I think about who has been prepared for us as speakers, trainers, leaders, motivators at this event, people that you may never get an opportunity to see and hear from in person throughout an entire calendar year, and then the multiplier of that to have everybody in the same place. Mr. Mike Humes, Millionaire Club member, a gentleman who went from the post office to the penthouse here with Legal Shield, and Mr. Brian Carruthers, our top money earner in the entire company, John Addison, who has sat on the board and directed and acted as CEO in some of the most prestigious companies in the world, Martine Dorado, who is launching our Canadian expansion and is heading that up. And I can just keep going on and on. Mr. Mike Roberts, who's in charge of our UK operations. Don Thompson, the president of Legal Shield Network Division. And how about Bob Berg, author of The Go-Giver, Robin Arzon from Peloton, Sean Reyes, the attorney general for the state of Utah, Jeff Bell himself, the CEO of Legal Shield. And I've got to stop talking because I'm going to run out of time that we have set aside on this call for everybody else. But my point is, what an incredible event for us to all gather, for the entire success team to come and be together and to learn from some of the most influential people in business anywhere on planet Earth. And yes, some of those as Legal Shield top earners and top producers, people who have made their name for themselves here, but also are influential. I've seen Darnell Self and Brian Carruthers, who was, you know, born, raised, bred as master speakers and motivators here within Legal Shield, but are now some of the most sought-after speakers, authors, trainers anywhere on the planet in the direct sales industry. It's just going to be an incredible event, And I know that we're going to talk on Thursday evening more about making or leveraging everything that's happening in Legal Shield in the moment. And we're going to be talking about Salt Lake City, how to make sure that as you expand your international presence, how you expand your Legal Shield business that you are the CEO of, that you can take full advantage of events like the Salt Lake City Leadership Conference. Well, the first way to take advantage of that is just do a quick check. Are you registered? And if not, get registered. You can do that right from the calendar icon in our back office. We'll connect you with someone that has discounted tickets. Please do not go directly to Legal Shield and pay double what we can get you tickets for. We can find you a few of the remaining discounted tickets. I'm confident of that. Also on Thursday evening, dialing in the same phone number that you dialed in right here this morning, you'll be able to join me and some of our fastest moving associates, people that are leveling up through the compensation plan, that will be sharing their experiences as new Legal Shield associates, sharing their experiences on how they are marketing memberships and expanding their business. But you're also going to hear from Mr. Ken Smith. You know, as we've talked about this global expansion of Legal Shield, we want you to know that, you know, it wasn't that long ago that when somebody started with Legal Shield, the question they would ask is, what states in the U.S. can I sell a membership in? Well, now the answer to that is every state, as we've expanded to all 50 U.S. states. On October 1st, we no longer will have a we will no longer be saying, well, you can sell in this Canadian province, but not that Canadian province, because as of October 1st, a coast-to-coast expansion of Legal Shield in Canada under the direction of Martine Girado, and who you're going to hear from on Thursday evening, Mr. Ken Smith, Network Vice President for Legal Shield in Canada, a Millionaire Club member and a six-figure ring earner himself. He's going to be talking with our team about how to make the most and leverage the expansion in Canada. And as many of you are planning to expand your business and take advantage of the July 1st launch that we had into the UK, well, the simple fact is that probably you'll find that the majority of the people that know someone in the UK are the people in the Canadian provinces. And we're going to teach you on Thursday evening how to access all of that as well. We have an incredible moment in time that we're all living through, Mr. Riches, and we want to make sure that everybody within the sound of our voice is taking part in the entirety of the Legal Shield opportunity. That means that while you are doing what you do best, sitting down with decision makers, opening new employee benefit accounts, enrolling those employees in our incredible protections, that you have members of your team in other cities, in other states, in other provinces, on other continents doing the very same thing, or maybe just simply sitting down over a cup of coffee, sharing the Legal Shield membership, the mobile app, sharing the experience of being protected and being a member and helping other people get protected as well. We all are sitting here this morning with a multi-million dollar business. The only question is not, is the opportunity available and viable? That's not the question. The only question is, who will seize on this incredible opportunity? And Mr. Riches, I am excited. I'm getting up earlier. I'm staying up later. I'm traveling more because I know what moment we're in, and I'm excited to see all of our leaders and all of our team members in Salt Lake City and also on our call this Thursday evening, and I'll turn the time back over to you, sir.
Well, fantastic, Mr. Tanner. Thank you so much for sharing, and I can feel your genuine and authentic excitement for where we're at, you know, this moment that you spoke of, and especially the Salt Lake City event that's coming up in just a couple of weeks. I mean, I cannot wait to see so many of our team there. It is going to be such a phenomenal training. Again, just as a reminder, make sure that you're registered for the B2B Solutions in Action event. That's on Thursday, October 3rd. And I know many of you have already registered for that, but that's a special advanced training that I'm really excited to get to be a part of. And it's in Salt Lake City, and it's Thursday, October 3rd. You do have to register separately for that training. You do it at the same place, and you go through the same process. And so even if you've already registered for the event, you can go back in. There's a code that they emailed you that you put in, and it will let you adjust your registration to be able to add that Solutions in Action in Action training. But I just really recommend that you guys take advantage of that. We did a similar event to that just before the Dallas event. I know several of you were there and got to participate. I just am really excited for it. It's not just an advanced training. It's a hands-on event. I mean, we're making calls during that. We're setting decision-maker meetings during that. Just before the Dallas event, we spent about 30 minutes doing calls, doing prospecting calls, and in that 30 minutes, we set over 70 decision-maker meetings up in just that one small 30-minute time slot as a group. And so we're going to accomplish something very similar to that. In fact, I'm willing to bet right now that it's going to be more decision-maker meetings that we set up in Salt Lake City at that event. So if you want to be a part of that, come join. Come be a part of it and register for that Solutions in Action training. I'm excited for that. And I'm just ecstatic this morning for our keynote speaker. We've got Mr. Chris Evans, a six-figure earner from the state of Tennessee, someone that has served our team so much over the last 15 years that he's been here. When I say he's served our team, he's helped us at training events. He's helped implement programs that have helped us open groups. He's really helped to always keep our vision in the right place, and that's one reason why I always enjoy listening to Mr. Chris Evans. He just has a knack for seeing opportunities before others see them, and he's so generous to share that insight with us time and time again. I just love his perspective of the marketplace, of where we're at. Every time that I hear him, he just motivates me and makes me want to think bigger. And Mr. Chris Evans, thank you so much for being on the call this morning. We always appreciate hearing from you. And with that, I'll turn the call over to you.
Wow, with an introduction like that, I'm excited to hear what I have to say. So, you know, I was thinking about what I was going to share this morning, and I was flipping through some of my notes, and you know, there's just so many different things that I've accumulated over the years, and I tried to narrow it down, and I thought, you know, back to when I first started, and you know, what were some of the things that made the biggest difference to me as I set out on this journey and kind of pushed the boat off the shore, if you will, and headed out into that great unknown. And you know, as I look back, I remember the ups and I remember the downs. And you know, we still experience the ups and we still experience the downs. It's just part of that journey. But as I look back, I kind of remember the times that I was most successful, and the times maybe that I didn't have the most success. And it really didn't have anything to do with a script that I might have gotten. You know, I know that we get on these calls a lot of times and we're like, okay, what's the magic pill? Give me the phrase. You tell me the phrase and I'll say it. You know, I'll put this in my email, and they're looking for that magic bullet. But really, it came down more to an attitude. And every time that I've had that success, it's been when my mind was more in the right place. You know, there's a saying that said, you know, or there's people that come in and they say, you know, this isn't a job, this is a business. You know, I'm not going to treat this like a job, I'm going to treat this like a business. The problem is most people don't know how to run a business. You know, most people have never been a business owner, and if they have been a business owner, they haven't been a very successful business owner. And that's the majority of people. And the reason is they treat it like a business, not knowing how to run a business. So what you have to do is you kind of have to shift that mindset a little bit and treat this like a job until it starts to pay you like a business, and then you'll know how to run a business. What I mean by that is if you have a goal, let's say, of earning $100,000 a year, you have to picture yourself as a CEO paying somebody $100,000 a year and then ask the question, if I did what that person I was paying $100,000 a year to do was doing, how long would I continue paying that person $100,000 a year? So you have to flip it to the other side of that mentality. Are you doing what you would expect someone to do if you were paying them a six-figure income? And it kind of starts to shift things a little bit. You know, hey, if you've ever pulled up to a business, you know, that let's say the sign on the thing says closes at 6 o'clock, and you pull up at 5:55 and you've got some people inside that are running to the door and they're locking up, you know, I promise you that's not the business owner. See, there's a thing that business owners understand, and I just want to kind of go through some of those little nuggets that I've picked up and kind of scanning through my notes of some different things that I've picked up over the years about how business owners treat them, their work, like work. They are committed to it. Number one thing I've seen is that to be successful, you know, and successful business people, they don't manage their time. Now, I know that that's a completely different concept than what most people think. I remember listening to Stephen Covey years ago, and he was telling this story about something they had heard on the news about the planets rotating and the Earth shifting a little bit on its axis, and the way that it was going to work then is that every day there was going to be an extra hour. So instead of a 24-hour day, there was going to be a 25-hour day. And in this seminar, he was asking people, you know, what would you do or what are you going to do with the extra hour that you have? And people were saying, you know, oh, I'd spend more time with my family. And some people would say, well, I would read more. You know, I would think about all the things that you would like to do. But at the end of the day, you just say, you know, oh, I didn't have time to complete whatever. And then he went on to say, well, obviously, this is, you know, a joke. There's not going to be an extra hour in a day, he said. But you have to understand something is that when you try to manage time, it's a myth. It doesn't work because we have 24 hours in a day regardless. That's not going to change. He said what successful people do is they get in their minds that they're not managing time, but they're managing themselves within the time that's allotted. So you, in a year from now, whether you are reading positive books or not, in a year from now, whether you're prospecting companies or not, in a year from now, you're going to be 1 year older regardless of the activities that you've done. The time is constant. We have no control over that. But we do have control about what we do. And what we do is hopefully going to get us to a place where we don't have regrets. I heard someone talking just over the weekend about regret and said, you know, if you really want to get motivated, go visit a nursing home and talk to people that are 80, 90 years old sitting in a nursing home and talk about the things that they wish that they had done, you know, the things that they wish that they had been able to do when they were able to do those things. And they live with that regret. And he said, regret is so hard. And he said, regret is what motivates me more than anything. So I never want to look back with that regret, because the lingering effect of regret is far worse and far longer than the instant rejection that you're going to experience when you go out and you talk to someone and they tell you no. So understand that you have to manage yourself within the time that you're given. Another thing that successful people do is they understand branding. You know, as you become a new agent and new associate and you join Legal Shield and you're going to the trainings, you're going to hear a lot about Legal Shield. You know, their logo that they've got, the colors, the website, the emails, everything. Legal Shield understands branding. The problem is too many of us are relying on Legal Shield as that brand. Now, we represent Legal Shield. We are Legal Shield. We love Legal Shield. But a lot of people fail to realize that the brand for you is not Legal Shield. The brand for you is yourself. You have to be the brand. See, it doesn't matter how many times, you know, you go out in the marketplace with Legal Shield. If they don't like you, if they don't respect you, if your prospects don't have confidence in you, it doesn't matter how good the product that you're selling is. They have to like you. They have to respect you. They have to trust you. And so we need to really put some focus into understanding branding of what that is and what that can do for us. Here's the definition. By definition, branding is a marketing practice in which a company creates a name, symbol or design that is easily identifiable as belonging to the company. This helps identify a product and distinguish it from other products and services. Branding is important because not only is it what makes a memorable impression on consumers, but it allows your customers and clients to know what to expect from your company. It is a way of distinguishing yourself from the competitors and clarifying what it is that you offer that makes you the better choice. Your brand is built to be a true representation of who you are as a business and how you wish to be perceived. So the question is, how do you want to be perceived in the marketplace? When someone is looking at an identity theft product, what's the difference that you have? It's not a website. It's not the color of the logo. When I talk to somebody and they mention a competitor, you know, here's the biggest asset that I have to offer them, myself. So here's what you're going to get with me. I'm going to give you my cell phone number. I'm going to be there. I'm going to answer your calls, your texts. I'm going to answer your questions. I'm going to come out and talk with your employees when they need me to. You know, again, you have to be that brand. Professionalism in your brand. You know, how are you dressing? And this isn't going to be a training on, you know, what kind of shoes to wear or don't. You know, your belt has to match your shoes and all of that. You know, you have to understand the brand that you want to be. There are successful people that might dress in jeans and a flannel shirt and go out, and their target market might be that arena in which jeans and a flannel shirt would do a lot better than a guy walking in a suit and tie. But then there are markets that the other would call for. So you have to determine what it is that you want as far as your target market to be, and then get yourself to match that. Your communication. How are your communication skills? And what I mean by that is, you know, when you call someone, how are you speaking with those individuals? When you send an email out, is your email professional? Do you have a tagline on the bottom of that email that would be something that a high schooler would send out to their friends? You know, is it riddled with emojis? Is it, you know, how professional are you? What kind of brand do you want to develop? And the good thing about the brand is you get to develop your brand. You are the one that develops who you want to be. So again, that email, LinkedIn. I don't know a whole lot about LinkedIn. I don't, but I have a LinkedIn with a professional photo on there. I know enough about LinkedIn in that when I want to meet with someone, I like to know a little bit about them. And so I go to click on that page or click on their LinkedIn profile, or I'll pull up Facebook and pull up theirs. So the question is, what kind of photo do you have on there, or no photo at all? People, when they see you, they get an understanding of you. Even though a photo is not going to be a complete representation of you, that's what they have to form their opinion on. They form their opinion on what they've gotten, and if what they've gotten is a phone call, an email, a LinkedIn picture, a LinkedIn profile, that's all they have to judge you on at that point. So make sure that it's professional. Also, with your branding, you want to look at personal development. Now, I know that there have been times in my business where I've looked and said, you know, I'm not really in the mood for the rah-rah. And understand that personal development is not about just the rah-rah. It's about working on who you are as a person. It's amazing to me some of the resources that are out there, you know, people have never tapped into. For example, Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People, one of the greatest personal development books of all time. And if you interview successful CEOs of companies, they still to this day list How to Win Friends and Influence People as, you know, one of the greatest books that they've ever read that's helped them. And this was by a guy that was born in the 1800s. And so, you know, you interview, again, MBA students, Fortune 500 CEOs, they say that that's one of their top books that they recommend. And, you know, Dale Carnegie, he knew how to sell. And it wasn't about memorizing a bunch of facts and figures, and it wasn't becoming somebody that could, you know, eloquently spill out, you know, the product description. But he understand that to be a top-performing sales rep in any company, or any business, you had to take a genuine interest in the lives of others. He said, you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. And so I would recommend you go back and read that book. One of the things that he talked about was smiling. He said it's a great way to make a first impression, and a lot of people fail to do that. Even when you're talking with them face-to-face, if you're talking to them over the phone, whatever you're doing, everything you do should begin with a smile. Actions always speak louder than words, and a smile tells somebody that you like them. And that's important in getting them to like you. Another skill set is listening. I remember a couple years ago I was at a workshop with Mr. Darnell Self, and he was talking about on effective communication, and he asked this question. He said, when you're talking with someone, are you listening to respond or are you listening to understand? And that kind of hit me because it made me realize, and I started paying more attention to it, that in my conversations with people, a lot of times that's what I would do with, you know, I would listen and then they would say something and immediately my mind would shift to, okay, how am I going to respond to this? And I would plan my response and I would find myself listening to respond more than I was listening to understand. So how can we give somebody what they need if we don't know what they want? We have to be more in a communication because that's what the sales process is. It's an understanding on their side, and it's us effectively responding and communicating to them after we have that understanding from them. You know, once you understand what it is that they want, you can play into that. You can effectively sell to that. You know, if you own a bait store, you have to understand customers don't want worms. They want to catch fish. And we have to present that accordingly. You know, talk about that experience of catching fish. Another tip that he shares in his book is using names. The sweetest sound that anyone will ever hear is their own name. So you have to learn the names of the people that you deal with. Not just the CEO or the HR director that you're meeting with, but when you call and you get that gatekeeper, learn their name. Think about how more effectively that is when you pick up the phone, you call, and they say, you know, such and such company, how can I assist you? You're like, yeah, is Cheryl in? Okay, Mask, who's calling? Think about the shift in that. If you call such and such company, how may I help you? Hey, Diane, this is Chris. How are you this morning? Good, great. Hey, listen, is Cheryl in? She's expecting my call. You know, big shift in that when you use their name, and we need to get better about doing that. Understand that everybody that you encounter is important. Everybody that you deal with through the process is going to have some significance in helping you to get what it is that you want. You know, you have to be great to the gatekeeper. You have to be great with that HR director. You have to be great with that CEO. But you also have to be great with the employees in the parking lot when you're coming in. You know, you have to be great with the people on the factory floor because those are the ones that are going to help you to get the sales when you eventually get in to do a presentation. If the guys don't like you that are on the factory floor because you kind of dismiss them, if they don't like you, you're dead before you even start. So, again, get to know the people all around you and treat everybody with that respect. Avoid arguments. I know that seems like it would be just a given, but so many times I've gotten to the point where I feel like I need to defend something that's said, and I can see how it would come off as an argument. You know, we've got zeal and passion for what it is we do, and if someone says, you know, oh, I like another company, and here's why I don't think we need your product, you know, the only way, Dale Carnegie said, to get the best of an argument is to avoid it. You have to be respectful of their opinion, everything. Hey, I appreciate that opinion. I certainly understand that. But never argue, never criticize, never condemn. You're going to have an opportunity to brag about your offering soon enough. And if ever appropriate, apologize. I know that that seems, we're like, okay, I've never attended a training on Monday morning where they've talked about apologizing. What do we have to apologize for? But psychologically, when you apologize to someone, it allows them to kind of see you on a more personal level. In other words, if you were supposed to call and you didn't call, don't make excuses. Say you're sorry and do it sincerely, genuinely. Then move on. You'll be surprised at how quickly, you know, the incident's forgotten. They appreciate that you've apologized. What you're doing is you're showing respect to them. And then one of the other tips that I got from Dale Carnegie's book, he said, let customers sell to themselves. In other words, people don't like to be told what to do. Understand this. People love to buy. People want to buy. People have a desire to buy, but they hate to be sold. The second you switch into salesperson mode, this is the second that you've lost them. Nobody wants that. I mean, think about it. I love, you know, when I go out, you know, and I look back at times when, let's say, we needed to buy a new car or something, there could be a car that I've looked at that I want, that I know what I want, and I have a desire to have that car. And I step onto the lot, and I see the car that I want, and I walk up. The second I get that salesman that comes out and starts spewing his, you know, sales pitch to me, I immediately am turned off by that. So what we have to do is, rather than giving a sales pitch, whenever, instead of just, you know, pitching somebody what it is that we have, let's have a conversation with them. You know, the difference between a good salesperson and a great salesperson is, a good salesperson will tell somebody. A great salesperson will ask somebody. A good salesperson reacts to demand. A great salesperson creates demand. A good salesperson understands the overall picture. But a great salesperson understands the personal picture. And then a good salesperson sees themselves as a great salesperson. But a great salesperson sees themselves as a consultant, somebody who's hand in hand, locked arm in arm with that individual. It's going to have a conversation with that individual that's going to allow that conversation to direct itself to where that HR director or that business owner or that CEO or someone that you're meeting with one-on-one that may be interested in the product, or when you're doing an enrollment and you're meeting with those individuals, again, you're part of a conversation. You're going to provide information to them. You're going to be helpful to them, but they're going to be ones to make the decision, and they're going to do that by you asking certain questions and steering that conversation until they realize that what we have is the solution that they're looking for. You know, when we give scenarios and examples in our enrollments and our presentations, we do that because that's going to trigger things on them. I don't stand up and start out the Legal Shield presentation by saying, you know, if you ever need to talk to an attorney, you can pick up the phone and talk to him. I'm going to say, you know, how many of you have ever had to deal with child support, bankruptcy, divorce, tax issues? You know, those things are something that plagues us. And, you know, go through some of those stories and some of those scenarios. When I'm meeting with an HR director, it's the same thing. You know, I'm not saying, you know, there were this many data breaches last year and this, blah, blah, blah. I'm saying, oh, did you see the news about the recent Capital One data breach? Oh, yes, absolutely. I did see that. You know, imagine if you think your employees, you know, saw the same thing. Yes, absolutely. You know, allow them to be involved with that conversation. Allow them to create that need, and then at the end, you don't have to sell a product. You just have to offer the solution. That's what we're doing. We're there to help them. So that is the thing. I mean, ultimately, here's what you have to understand, that a sales transaction is nothing more than a conversation between two people. Whether you're doing that, you know, in an enrollment, whether you're doing that across the desk, whether you're doing that by phone or email, that individual, they want to buy. The other individual, we want to sell. And the conversation that we have is the bridge that's going to make it all happen. That's why Dale Carnegie said that the secret to success was being interested in other people. Now, I didn't mean to spend so long on Dale Carnegie, but that was just one that I had recently gone through and reviewed again, and there's so many nuggets in there that I took away from that, and there's still so many more nuggets that I recommend you go back and you get. Another thing that successful business people understand is timing in the marketplace. You know, you look at businesses that maybe started before their time was ready, or businesses that try to jump on board after the time has passed. You know, look at the market trends and what goes on. You know, they say that timing is to business what location is to real estate. It is the most important thing. You know, and when we are living in a society right now that is plagued with legal issues, when we are living in a society right now where you cannot open a magazine, turn on the TV, look in a newspaper, go online and not see something about a recent data breach, when you can't get on Facebook anymore and not see a story that somebody's posted about how their identity was stolen or how they filed an income tax return and got notified that somebody had already filed in their name. When you live in a society where the people are talking about the problems and all you have to do is offer the solution, that's why branding is so important, because they're looking for a solution, which means they're going to find a solution, which means you need to be the one that they go to, but they're not going to go to you if, one, they don't like you, two, they don't respect you, three, they don't trust you, and most importantly, four, if they don't know you. That's why prospecting is important. That's why you have to get in front of people, because they need to know who you are. But timing, understand that the timing in the marketplace is only valuable, is only beneficial to you if you do something about it. See, everybody that takes a shower has a good idea. That's where I've gotten most of my good ideas is when in the shower. But it's the ones that get out, dry off, and get to work, applying action to that good idea are the ones that have that success. So, again, we're in the right time. We're in the right place. We have the right services. The only question is, are we going to take advantage of that? We are coming on, in my opinion, the best time of the year. And I know that a lot of times we get on and we say, oh, this is the best time, oh, this is the best time. But I will say it, year after year, for me personally in my business, the best time of the year is October, November, December. Now, I know that we're still in September, but to take advantage of October, you have to start working in September. Now, in December, we'll talk about how there are still some advantages for you. We'll talk about how to cram some things in around that holiday season. But I will tell you this, the middle of December, you will not have the opportunity that you have in the middle of September, because in the middle of December, when you start preparing, you've missed out on the opportunity of October and November. We're rolling into the holiday season coming up. Our holiday workshop, Holiday Identity Theft Workshop, is unreal. It's festive. It's fun. People are in a buying mood, and all we have to do is be in front of them. But you're not going to be in front of them if you don't start prospecting right now. Again, it's all about that timing. And then the final thing that I just wanted to share on understanding the importance of being a successful business person, a business owner, is that they understand that rejection is just part of it. Understand that you're going to get the no's. Understand that it's going to get difficult. See, we talk about that as far as, you know, oh, you've got to just let it bounce off of you, and that's true, you do. But that doesn't mean it's not difficult. That doesn't mean that it hurts when somebody that told you they were going to buy doesn't buy from you. It doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt when you buy pizzas and show up to an enrollment and they've canceled or they don't want to give you a payroll slot like they said that they would do. It's about understanding that that's part of it, and when you get that, it's going to put you one step closer to meeting your goals. It's going to put you one step closer to where it is that you want to be. You know, it's important to understand that it's not the water outside of a vessel that causes it to sink. It's the water that's inside of a vessel. And you can't allow that stuff to seep in. You can't allow that negativity to define who you are, because that's not part of your brand. See, there's nothing that's part of your brand that can allow for negativity to sink in. You have to understand what it is that you want, what it is you have to do to get it, and most importantly, who is it that you have to become to be that person that's going to get it. And I promise you that the first step is working on you. And part of that is being on these calls. Big congratulations to every one of you. I mean, here we are. What I love about this call and talking is that I know that I don't have to convince anyone on here how important personal development is. I don't have to convince anybody on here on why working on yourself is important, because you're already there. You've got that edge. Now the question is, are you going to take advantage of the edge that you have? Take the person that you are, continue to work on that, apply it to the marketplace, and take action on that. Get out of the shower, dry off, and get to work. And with that, I'll turn it back to you, Mike.
Wow, Mr. Evans, thank you so much for sharing. That was fantastic. Just as we had expected, and as always, you deliver in such an incredible way. Thank you for taking the time to prepare that, to share those excellent thoughts. I think it speaks to, you mentioned personal development, and it speaks to, you know, what do you get when you plug in to personal development year after year after year? What you develop is the kind of wisdom that Mr. Evans just shared. And so, again, we thank you for sharing that on the call, and that was a fantastic segment. Let's take the call up to Cookeville, Tennessee. We've got none other than $700,000 ring earner, Mr. Mark Riches, standing by. Mark, I know that you had to feel like I did when you were listening to Mr. Evans. Just incredible information, and I love how he talked about, you know, the timing right now for prospecting is so crucial. It's so important. I'm excited to hear what you have to share on that as well.
Man, fantastic call. Great job, Chris. Fantastic information. I was taking notes, and just loved how you spoke about having a conversation. I think all of us are guilty of diving in, you know, talking about what we're offering, you know, what we're doing. And, of course, there's a part of that introduction that is needed. But one key part of having a conversation, as Chris talked about, is listening and asking the right questions and just slowing down a little bit to have those conversations. And he spoke about the timing in the market, and I couldn't agree more that it's perfect timing, a perfect storm out there. We've got an incredible product, the best product that's available, and there's definitely a huge need in the market. And the exciting thing is, even after almost, 50 years that Legal Shield's been in business, I've been in 25 years now. I've hit my 25-year mark just a few days ago, and I, you know, there's still a massive amount of companies that don't obviously offer our product, but they've never even heard of our product. They never even heard the concept about identity theft protection plans or legal access plans to their employees. And that's pretty exciting that the market is still open, that much open and available. I mean, we haven't even scratched the scratch, and we're opening up new market areas. I mean, Canada's opening and all that, but you look at right here in the U.S. market, it's still wide open. I mean, I would say there's not one state anywhere that has more than 5% of the companies offering our benefit, which means there's 95% available in every single market. When I started 25 years ago, in the state of New York, there were 37 companies offering our benefit. And today it might be 3,700. I don't think it's that high. I would say 2,000 maybe companies. I'm just guessing. I don't know that number. But, you know, 37 to 2,000 companies is huge. But think about a picture of downtown Manhattan, New York, and all those skyscrapers. I mean, 2,000 companies is maybe a couple of those buildings, and that's it. The rest of the state of New York, every other city in the state of New York is available to sell our benefits to. So, again, it's just an unbelievable market out there. I'm not telling anyone to move to New York. It's the same way any city. I mean, it's just wide open. And if you ever think, man, it's just saturated, go look at a parking lot. See how many Legal Shield decals you can find in the windows of cars. I mean, they just most people don't have access to our membership, and because of that, they don't have access to, you know, affordable legal protection and the very best robust identity theft protection plans. So I just wanted to talk a minute. I'm definitely excited to see everyone in Salt Lake City. I'm glad Jim Tanner mentioned that. Less than 3 weeks away, we'll be there, and I'm super excited to spend that time with each of you there. So let's talk for just a minute about prospecting. I was thinking about this over the weekend, and you know, there's, as I mentioned, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of potential prospects out there. I was sitting down with my son Ben, who was wanting to do some group marketing, some B2B marketing, and I just pulled up the Chamber of Commerce listing in Cookeville, and they listed out all their members. And just in that member listing, there were thousands of companies, and it listed, you know, all the A's and all the B's, and I kind of walked through it with him, and we saw some fast food and chain-type restaurants, and I said, so we're not focused on that. And I kind of spent some time with him saying, this is the kind, and I kind of circled and said, that's a good group right there, that's a good one, that's a good one, that's a good one. And I thought that might be good to spend a minute here this morning talking about that. You know, what is a qualified prospect? Well, there's three things that when I look at a contact, maybe I get a phone number off a truck driving around or a billboard or a directory like that. And with the internet, there's just, you know, everyone should have thousands of potential prospects in their system because it's so easy to access that information. But, you know, three things that qualify, that make it a qualified prospect is, one, are the benefit decisions made local. And, for example, like with McDonald's, you know, I'm just using that as an example. One, it's a high churn employee industry with about a 400% annual turnover on the employees. So that's not a good market we want to focus on because, you know, after 3 or 4 months, it's all new employees, typically. So why is that not a good market? Well, you know, it's not a good stable market. They have a high churn. That's why the fast food industry pays as earned. They're not going to advance out commissions on it, but also you're going to lose a lot of those members as they move on to other employment. It's not a good payroll group for sure. Well, the benefit decisions are also not made local. So it kind of screens out a lot of those because the person locally, the HR person or the decision maker we're talking with, isn't in charge of making benefit or adding benefits to their portfolio. Number two, an important one, is number of employees. And you get to set that number yourself. If you're brand new, don't set it too high. Don't say, I'm going to only work with companies of 25 or more. You can work with companies of 10 or more. And just draw a line there somewhere. I used to use the line about 10 or 15, but it doesn't really matter for practicing and getting started. It's okay if you do a company with 6 employees. I would rather mess up with a company of 6 employees than in being in front of 60 employees and bombing that out. So, you know, number of employees, you get to set that, but it's important that we know how many employees that company has. And number three, who is the decision maker? Identifying that person that we're going to be talking to and working with and communicating, as Mr. Evans talked about this morning, with, you know, who is that person? So, and then, of course, we approach those companies, offer them a free identity theft workshop, a free lunch and learn where we bring the lunch and we bring the learn. And, I mean, we have such a powerful approach in a market that they're looking, a lot of these companies, I don't want to say most, but a lot of companies are looking for exactly what we offer right now. We've got to contact them. We've got to call them. Let me close out here by just sharing some of the top industries. Now, these are not in any particular order. These are just, as I look out there at the types of groups being written, these are some of the hot industries. These are high growth industries right now in the U.S., one is heating and air companies. Now, you think it's small, but Rob Vest, who is right now leading the country again this year, number one producer so far, one quarter left, but I think he'll end up number one. He holds the record of 5,500 membership sales in a year. So you might write that down. He's just an associate just like you and I, and he wrote 5,500 memberships in 1 year. Rob focused that year particularly on heating and air companies, and the average size group that he opened was 30 employees. So he just partnered with some of the association groups out there, the heating and air associations, and they endorsed him, and he went around to heating and air companies throughout several states and wrote a bunch of companies. Think about just in your city how many heating and air companies there are there. And he and I trust me on this, the market's not saturated. He didn't get a 10% of it. I mean, he just nicked it and made a lot of money. He's made millions and millions of dollars in his Legal Shield business. But that's one of his niches that he works. And I don't want you to scatter and try and handle all the niches. I made my first $1 million in this company in one niche market, which was police and public safety, police, sheriffs, and fire departments. That's all I worked. I didn't open any other type of group. That's and corrections. I could add corrections in there. But it was all under that public safety title. Here's another one, manufacturing companies. It's a good growth industry. There's some states have manufacturing directories or cities have manufacturing directories. Much of that data is right online. You can just do a Google search, manufacturing companies in my city, and it'll give you a good list of those. Or yellowpages.com will list them out. Chamber of Commerce are a good place to go for getting a list of manufacturing companies. And sometimes you can get pretty inexpensive an online directory of manufacturing. But manufacturing of anything, those are blue-collar workers. They love our legal plan. They love our ID Shield plan. It's a great market to focus on. Public safety is next on my list. Police, fire, ambulance, corrections. Both on the corrections side, both public and private. The private sector is definitely growing. Communications like 911 communication centers, we've written a bunch of those up over the years. But all of that in under that public safety market, it's a great niche. Health, it's a huge $36 billion, industry. So it's a huge industry. Doctor's office, dentists, labs, drug testing. I mean, just break it all down. Even home health, even though it's an as-earned business because of the turnover, it's a great market. There's thousands of them and a great place to get in front of employees and do this presentation. And remember, just because it's as-earned, you won't get the advanced commission, but all the revenue that you write in as-earned groups count toward your, whatever your goal is, $1,400, $1,500 for executive director, it all counts toward that. Food service industry, one thing's for sure is people are going to continue to eat food. And especially here in the U.S., we eat a lot of food. But think about all the sidelines to the food industry, like the airline, service industry, all the food that's going to the airlines. There's companies around the airports that service and provide all that food and catering. Wholesale food companies, we've had really great success with them. Food suppliers, the companies and trucks that are supplying food to restaurants are great, great market. Who's supplying food to your local schools? Those are great companies to approach. And there's a lot of people that work at those companies, and it's a great niche. The automotive service industry is another great market. Real estate's an $8.1 billion industry here in the U.S., again, typically it's a bank draft type situation, especially when you're dealing with the agents of an agency. But that's okay. You can, Adam Thompson sold thousands of memberships on bank draft, and he loves that niche market. And there's real estate companies that are meeting right now, Monday morning, 9 a.m. And I remember Dave Paperno was really hard when he first started getting him on a call or anything because he was always doing a real estate office every Monday morning. That's where he started. And those are great markets. Construction companies, $12.5 billion industry, a lot of growth in that right now. Transportation, pharmaceutical. I mean, pharmaceutical is a $400 billion industry. If you just focused on that and you worked every day till you passed out, you wouldn't in your lifetime get through a 1% of that market. So pick a niche. Go out there and grab your fair share of the market. We've got an incredible product. We've got a great brand. The brand gets better and better every day. There's companies out there looking for this service, and they're going to get it from someone. They're going to get it from our provider, you know, Legal Shield and ID Shield, or they're going to get it from another company, but they're going to provide legal protection plans and identity theft protection plans to their employees. And it's up to you and I to go out and grab that fair share of the market. Hopefully we take advantage of that today and this week, and just maximize the opportunity that's here in front of each of us. And with that, Mike, I'll turn the call back to you, sir.
Well, fantastic. Mark, thank you so much for sharing. And again, a big thank you to Mr. Chris Evans and Mr. Jim Tanner for sharing on the call this morning. Folks, we've got our marching orders. Let's go out and make it happen. Let's get a game plan for contacting and prospecting companies this week. Let's make it happen. And by the way, make today count as well. You know, every week we've got a lot of decision-maker meetings that are set on Monday, and sometimes we think that might not be a great day to prospect companies. What you'll find is decision-makers are sitting in their office right now, today, and if you call, you might be the next person that they answer the phone and say, yes, you can come on in and let's take a look at what you've got. Again, a big thank you to all who have shared today and for all who have joined the call. God bless every one of you. Let's make it a great week.